Hi, Sophie. How are you doing?
Good morning, Rohit. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining the podcast, Sophie. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure, and I look forward to our discussion today.
Likewise. I'm Rohit Mahajan. I'm the managing partner and CEO of Bigrio and Demo Consulting and the host of the Big Unlock podcast here. As you and me know, it was started by Paddy long time ago.
God bless Paddy.
Absolutely. And then we are honored to take this podcast forward from here. We are on episode in the 150s. So it has come a long way. Yeah. And I would like to request you to please introduce yourself.
Yes, Rohit. Thank you. My name is Sophie Liu. I am currently the Senior Vice President of Digital Integration and Business Relations at Northwell Health. Previously, I've held multiple executive roles at Northwell, including the system CIO. And I've been with Northwell approximately 15 years or so, very much grew up in the application space. Prior to that, I was trained as a chemical engineer, and I've been known to really enjoy continuous learning, integration, connecting people, and solving problems by putting calm into chaos. I live in Brooklyn today, happily married with two grown kids, I guess I would call them. And I have four Labradors and two Norwegian cats.
Oh, wow.
Busy in work and life.
That's awesome. So how does a chemical engineer like you, Sophie, wind up in the one of the largest healthcare systems in the country? And please tell us a little bit about your journey and about Northwell as well.
Yes, absolutely. I would always say, Rohit, to people, it's a little bit of luck and timing and a lot of bit of hard work and the journey of the networks that you are exposed to. So I originally really wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. And somehow with my STEM and science background that I love and math, I got into chemical engineering. I did work in chemical engineering for approximately 7 years of my career right after I graduated. And again, drawn towards problem solving, I did a lot of process and industrial design relative to chemical plants and did a lot of international sort of work and traveling through Europe and Indonesia, working on, at the same time, I was always looking towards sustainability. So we did a lot of clean energy. And back in 20 years or so ago, dating myself, I was working on how to produce and expand liquefied natural gas and compressed natural gas, which today is old news. But back 30 years ago, trying to scale that in the transportation and or the energy industry was where I really loved doing some of the work. And so engineering moved more from the Northeast towards the central of the United States. And so at that time, my family was here. And so I started looking for other opportunities. And I sent out 100 resumes at the Marquee in a job fair back then. And I got picked up by a consulting company that was very interested in my background and wanted me to go into consulting and work for using industrial gas background, but mostly doing sort of technology integration implementation. Life goes full circle. It's interesting.
Right.
So I ended up working for that consulting company and did a lot of project management, a lot of business integration, and a lot of work on, at that time, mergers and acquisitions, also specifically in St. Vincent's Hospital, New York, where it was a single institution that grew up to be about 7 or 8 institutions. And then, unfortunately, it did go into bankruptcy. And I did journey along with them and learned a lot relative to management, bankruptcy, Chapter 7, Chapter 11, and also turnaround. First foray into healthcare and a glimpse into where healthcare is relative to a very important, their entire mission is to deliver care and wellness. At the same time, they were very challenged in the areas of reimbursement, and they were very challenged in the areas of finding, having technology. So as I journeyed through the closure of St. Vincent's, I was recruited to Northwell Health. in working on their application space and came over in the inception of their revenue cycle implementation, which started the whole patient journey and the EHR journey from then until now.
Yeah, and I understand those.
And I never left.
Oh, yeah. So you spent many years at Northwell, and that's a fabulous segue from your industrial engineering and engineering background into healthcare, you know, and you got a glimpse up close of an institution that went through that phase as well of M&A and turnaround. So, Sophie, tell us about your new role. I understand that you have a new role here at Northwell and that you are looking at some very different initiatives. So how's that coming along, and what can you share with the audience?
Yeah. Yes. So as we started the digital transformation journey at Northwell, laying out the foundation of simplifying the ecosystem and selecting strategic functions that we wanted to implement relative to the cloud foundation, the data platform, and evolving our EHR for the entire organization, there was a need that we looked into that we wanted to focus on for digital integration and business relations. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? If you look at the heart of where technology and a seat at the table, along with operations and clinical care and patient experience, has married, the new discipline of digital relationship management really is trying to make sure that we are bridging operations to technology to patient at the center. Right. And some of those objectives, no matter whether you're looking at an adoption of technology that you just are implementing, like an EHR, mm-hmm. or in your new mergers and acquisitions of how are you going to integrate the business, mm-hmm. or you're looking at building out a new facility, and mm-hmm. what are you thinking about relative to innovative workflows and engagement and experience for the patient and the families, right? And mm-hmm. so you look to bridge in that relationship, strategic alignment, you want to make sure that the stakeholders are engaged in the decision-making and the journey. Mm-hmm. And you want to facilitate effective communications, because everybody doesn't always speak the same language at the same time.
Right.
It is
right.
What's important to me and what's relative to my role at that time, right? You want to get synergy across that, and you promote the continuous improvement and selection of what works best to meet the mission and the vision mm-hmm. of whatever that initiative that you're working on, always focusing on process improvement, efficiencies, and helping out the users, whether the user's persona is the clinician or the operations, or of course, the patient and the family as they're going through the continuum. And last but not least, you want to ensure you're translating all that into something that is executable, have a translation understanding that the implementation is not technology only, right?
Yes.
That you're addressing the problem you're trying to solve. You're mm-hmm. addressing the vision that you have enabled mm-hmm. across the institution. And then you want to measure and look at how you're doing in that implementation.
Yes.
Realize back often and repeat, basically. There is constant tweaking and recalibrating, because mm-hmm. tech changes, life changes, and roles change.
Yeah, of course. And you mentioned, Sophie, previously before we started the podcast about change management and cultural alignment, right? So could you illustrate us by any example that you might have seen in this new role of yours? Like, what works? How does it work? And what works best? And you also mentioned something very interesting, that you're measuring it. Any such measures that you actually use in the business enterprise?
Yeah, I'll use a couple of examples. So most importantly right now is we are doing the readiness for our EHR implementation. As part of the readiness, even though we are keeping an eye on leveraging best practice and ensuring that we have an enterprise standard in those processes that we're implementing, there is mm-hmm. still the engagement of operations and translations on what is most important to you. Will this help you? Do you think that this workflow complements and meets your respective needs? And so some of the work that we are doing is making sure that there is a laser focus on operational engagement and operational input on their readiness and their understanding and their translation to their respective departments about that readiness. The other thing relative to culture and success is we partnered very closely with PeriOp. And because we are a large organization that grew over mergers and acquisitions, we don't necessarily have a standard system across the 21 institutions that we have, right? And so some of the challenges that we have is OR throughput. And think of the OR throughput relative to not only do you have the surgery schedule, the surgeon and the care team availability, but also room logistics and having patients come through the pre-op, the operations, peri-op, and then so on and so forth. We worked very closely with the operations to understand the problem. We looked at a technology and maybe multiple technology that complemented data that will help and advise the operations of how to low balance and pivot throughput in the OR. And that was very much a success story. In essence, we have significant measurable outcomes of how we optimize the room, the schedules, in real time. In real time, the out and plan is easily done on paper. But then as the day goes on, you can imagine sort of the complexity. Tens and double digit OR rooms and triple digit workforce with patients. Yeah. We were able to very efficiently low balance it and brought joy to the clinicians and the patient, but also making sure that we really did optimize throughput as an outcome of that. Not that that was the only goal. And in that sense, you were able to increase volume and revenue. At the same time, the main goal was to make sure that we brought efficiency and joy back to the surgeons and back to the patient schedules.
That's very cool. Very cool example, Sophie. Thank you for sharing that. And you mentioned, Sophie, just now that Northwell has become a very large institution through mergers and acquisitions. And there are 21 organizations as a part of Northwell now. And you are very much involved in mergers and acquisitions. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So Northwell Health is, of course, the largest provider in New York State. We are one of the largest employers in the state, encompassing almost now 90,000 employees or 90,000 workforce. And in that, we have 21 hospitals, 11 of those magnet designated, and about almost 1,000 ambulatory facilities for outpatient. And we never stop growing, right? And in that sense, we continue to serve the communities with caregivers up to about 12,000 physicians, about 19,000 plus nurses, and also invest in things such as community education, research, outreach, and charity care.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to never stop growing, one of our missions and visions from our CEO is that we want to intentionally grow, right? We are not an organization that look to grow in like a splitter splatter pattern. We want to grow contiguously in a way where we are providing, not only are we always looking to provide continuous care in the in an integrated system from cradle to grave and servicing our communities, we also do similar approaches relative to our M&A. We want to be have the synergies and contiguous growth in a way where we are facilitating care to contiguous communities, referral patterns, and the ability for us to provide the magnitude and the size of our capabilities and our strength to serve the patients in the community in all sense of raising health and wellness and also providing care. And so that in that sense, we are constantly growing our outpatient facilities. And most recently, we're also in the process of a major emergency acquisitions with a health system about a third of our size. It is yet to be approved, but it is one of the largest mergers and acquisitions that we've made. And we are looking forward to that.
That's very good to know. Any of this public news?
I think it is. It just hasn't been approved yet. So
will it be across the state line, Sophie?
It will cross state lines.
It'll cross state lines. Okay.
Correct. But we have cross state lines today. Northwell Health is not only in New York, but we also have practices and partnerships in New Jersey, in Florida, and we also do a lot of international work in helping provide services to underserved countries and our partners provide advisory across the world.
That's awesome. So you mentioned, Sophie, previously in our conversation that there is no standard playbook and you have to find complementary technology strategies and mergers and acquisitions. So could you please tell us more and share with the audience on your thoughts and ideas about how mergers and acquisitions are approached and what makes for some success stories here?
Yes. And I hear this back from a lot of our partners and customers that we interact with, is that Northwell's approach to mergers and acquisitions is not a forced takeover. It's not like it is a very friendly, synergetic togetherness that comes. Mm-hmm. And why is that? The thoughtfulness of whether it's a partnership or mergers and acquisitions at Northwell, we do it in a way where we find that the complement of culture, complement of values are very important to us. And if you have those two things, everything else is easy peasy because you have similar mindsets and similar ethics of what you are trying to deliver and do in this world.
Yes.
You start with that foundation. Mm-hmm. And then you go into sort of the business approach. Why I say not every M&A is the same is because depending on the type of M&A, depending on the initial objectives and goals you're trying to accomplish together, and then ultimately, of course, in the long term, you are looking to optimize and synergize the best of both worlds, and you learn from each other in that. Yeah. And so the playbook could be, first and foremost, is integrate the people and to integrate the brand in a sense where we are one team, one purpose. We take care of each other. From there, you look at, okay, what are some of your strategic initiatives that you are investing in? What are some of the risk registers and areas that we need to focus on? Mm-hmm. And what are some of the longer term goals that are already in play?
Yeah.
And you have those discussions to align. How are you doing in that? How can you help each other to move the ball and plan out a roadmap? All starting, again, with the business integration objective. And from there, you can then build out what you need to do from a technology perspective to accelerate and complement those objectives. Again, if there is something that is a low complexity, high return in an area that's hurting, let's double down and figure out how we can invest in that.
Right.
And parlay that onto future innovation and future growth and expansion. With all of that said, do not misconstrue that from my perspective of risk mitigation, because first and foremost things that we also really need to do and prioritize is to ensure that the ecosystem, the infrastructure is solid, right? You have your cybersecurity posture in place. You have your resiliency in place. You want to make sure that if there you have your regulatory and compliance in place and you continue to enforce and bolster that so that, you know, it's a given. That's a bread and butter that you don't really need to think about because it's what you need to do first and foremost. And then you invest in how to target the areas that would be very important for both institutions.
That's great to know. And that leads us to the innovation and the AI aspect of things. No podcast would be complete without touching upon.
Of course. Whether you're talking about artificial intelligence, augmented intelligence, any intelligence.
Yeah.
Of course. Any conversations without it today.
Yeah, exactly. So looking into the future from your perspective, when you're looking at the EHR adoption and the innovation and the adoption of AI in the business enterprise, what are some of the things that you see coming our way and what are you might be working on? Yeah.
I want to go back and emphasize again on, and maybe that's my bias now, is that any successful AI initiative should always start with what problem are you trying to solve,
yes,
and engaging the operator in defining that problem. Again, we fall very easily into, and especially now with such fast pace of tech and tooling available, that we get very engrossed in the tool and then try to find sponsors and problems to solve. In order for AI to be successful and scalable, you really need to start with the operators in mind. Mm-hmm. And that operator could be tech. There's also a lot of AI in place today, whether it's generative or RPA or machine learning, that entails coding, entails engagement that we can leverage it for. But to scale it and help the clinical space, the administrative space, the experience space, you have to go to the source. And so whenever I give a talk about AI, I always say AI has been around for decades.
Yeah.
And within the last 5+ years or so, generative AI became front and center. And the world interprets generative AI as AI magic in all generations and all aspects of life. But we should all remember that AI is a lot more than generative AI. And so Northwell, like other healthcare institutions, and being one of the leaders in looking at new technology and innovation, have been engaged in many aspects of AI way back, starting with imaging, precision medicine, with also most currently with generative AI. We've looked at agentic AI is what people all in the cradle. We are also, due to security, compliance, and just protection of our data, which is our most important asset, we have stood up an internal AI hub, we call it, which is a interface for our workforce to be able to go on to a link and be able to use generative AI on any sort of source of product that they would and data that they have that they would like to leverage. And in that way, we federate the capability and look at what are some of the problems and the needs that's out there to leverage. Yeah. At the same time, we very targetedly stood up a governance structure that we are trying to understand the inventory of needs and requests and looking at what are some of the initiatives and work that we can do to bring value back. And in some of those areas, we have worked with administration areas like, I would call it like compliance or like even in a way where you can use generative AI to search out information and presented to the user, which saves a significant amount of time as these users are digging through voluminous policies and voluminous documents. And is there a way that we can bring time, give time back?
That's amazing. Yeah, giving time back to 90,000 people adds up a lot.
Right. And there are tons of use cases that you're not familiar with that you wouldn't think about. And they might not be sexy, but it is It is something that someone has to do every day, whether they're using time to search, using time to write, using time to gather.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. As we come towards the end of the podcast, Sophie, I would like to touch upon the thing you mentioned before we started the podcast about the Women's Month, International Women's Month.
Thank you, Rohit, for reminding. So really, I would love to wrap up today in recognition and celebration of International Women's Month. I think some people say it's a day, but I'm going to call it a month. And I want to sort of take that time just to recognize all the superwomen and all of the genders in support of women out there in all the work that we do together. And want to make sure that we support each other, we raise the bar together, and that together we can do so much more in impacting the world for change and also making sure that we do not forget to give back. And last but not least, I thank you all for the work that you do. And don't forget to take care of yourself. It is okay to give self-care, take a compliment, and making sure that you care for yourself as much as you care for everything else so you can give back 300% every day.
Thank you, Sophie.